Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
So tonight, as you can gather by the bit of paper on that you've got in front of you, is about blessing. Who here has been regularly blessed by their parents as they've grown up? Yeah, in a Jewish family, what it would look like is once a week at the family meal, the father of the house would come around and he'd lay his hands on each of the children's head. Bare minimum, he would use the passage from Numbers 6 and speak out that blessing. And it goes, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face, his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so he'd pray that blessing over each of the members of his household. He blessed their future. And it's interesting, when a Jewish young person thinks about what they will do when they grow up, the fruit of blessing is that they go, I will own the bank. When a Christian young person thinks about what they'll do when they grow up, they think, I will work at the bank. And it's interesting the different perspective that is given as a result of this culture of blessing that is passed down through Jewish families. What we see is that when someone is blessed, when a child is blessed, they prosper in life. There's two types of trauma that we can experience in life. There's a type B trauma where we are hurt by someone, whether it's emotionally, we're traumatized by things done to us. But there's type A trauma where we don't get what we were designed to receive. So that is affection, affirmation, encouragement, love. That's stuff that we were meant to receive as we have grown up, in order to allow us to prosper. And when that's not there, there's a sort of trauma that exists from the absence of this. What we see is that people missing this aspect of blessing and love and care in life can fall short of their potential. So tonight we're talking about blessing because I, as I've studied this as a teaching, believe that the more we get this, it is a bit of a breakthrough teaching for us, but also for others that we know. As we get this, this will change the lives of the people that we know, not just Christian, but non-Christian as well. And I believe it will also change us as well. I'm going to use this sheet, so you've got a bunch of things in front of you. And one of the reasons why I wanted to give you such a comprehensive sheet is because I wanted you to be able to take it away and know what blessing is and know how you can actually apply it through your life. I've used a couple of resources in preparing on blessing. One is a guy called David Tenson, who's done some excellent work about how we can do it, and I'm using his framework to bracket the different ways that we bless. Another one's by a guy called Roy Goodwin, and he speaks, the Way of Blessing is his book. He talks about how an entire town was changed by them using blessing as a tool that God had given them. And the other one is by a guy called Craig Hill, and it's called The Power of a Parent's Blessing. So defining blessing, when we bless someone, we choose to speak well of them, or we choose to empower them to prosper. When you look at the Bible and the way it uses blessing, in the Hebrew, so the Old Testament, the word is barak, and its literal translation is to stoop low or to kneel before someone. It comes from a posture of humility, blessing, and the spiritual connotation is to actually this empower to prosper. You're stooping low to lift up the other person. In the Greek, the word is eulogio, which is to give thanks, to speak well of. You'd notice that it sounds very similar to eulogy, and that's because that is where eulogy flows from. Only a eulogy comes after someone has died. And so Blessing is about us giving what they might receive when they die, whilst they're still alive and able to receive it. We strengthen them with God's message about who they are and why they are here. So why must we bless people? It's a command. So in Numbers 6:22, you've got this on your sheet. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and his sons. So Aaron and his sons were, Aaron was a priest. His sons were, therefore were all priests. And the connection here for us is that 1 Peter 2:9 says, you are a royal priesthood. So we are all included into that. So speak to Aaron and his sons saying, thus you shall bless the people of Israel and you shall say to them, the Lord, so that's the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then it says right at the end, and so this is point three on the page, in Numbers 6:27, so they shall put my name upon the people of Israel and I will bless them. It's an investment that empowers others to prosper. You see, where God puts his name, it's like a target that's drawn on that place, that blessing will flow to that place. Skipping back to number two, why must we bless people? It's a privilege. The promise made to Abraham in Genesis 12:2, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. We are privileged as Christians to be blessed so that all the people of this earth will be blessed through us. Ephesians 1:3 talks about the level of blessing that we're given in Jesus. In Jesus, it says in Ephesians 2 that we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 1:3 says that God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. So what do we have now as we are, we're seated here at Deep Creek, but you also have to keep in your mind that the scripture says of us that we are also seated at this very moment with Jesus. That's the place where we are seated in the heavenly realms. We have every spiritual blessing. So we have a blessing to be able to share. We sit in a place of authority. And authority is a privilege that you receive in order to bless others. So it's a privilege. I spoke before, as I was introducing the topic, about how it's something that's missed. As we grow up, there's the God of this world, Satan, has a plan for us, and that's not to see blessing to flow through our lives. It's for us to not prosper. It's for us to not actually see our potential fulfilled in this life. And what we see is when someone doesn't receive blessing, when they don't receive this core affirmation that's meant to come through their parents primarily, but then through the elders that look after them, there's a sense of lack of direction. There's a sense of the person not being able to answer that question, who am I, with any confidence, or where am I meant to be going, what's my purpose in life? And so we see a generation of kids that have risen up with parents that have both worked full-time and handed off the duty of parenting to daycare and whatever, and a lot of them come up without direction because their parents haven't been there to sow this key blessing into their lives. So it's something that is missed when they're not blessed will fail to see the value that they are and the value that they can bring to someone else. Fifthly, it's why must we bless people? It's a responsibility. Satan has a plan to curse all the families of the earth, and now God has a plan to bless all the families of the earth through us. I liked what it said in Psalm 23. which, because it gives me confidence that, that God has a plan for blessing in whatever situation that I'm in. As it started, it said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack no good thing." That's the place of blessing. If the Lord is your shepherd, you shall lack no good thing. Then it continues on in verse 5 and 6 and says, "God prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." See, blessing comes to us because we are children of God. It comes to us because we dwell in the presence of God, that God is with us, because we have clean hearts, as we talked about at communion. The presence of God is with those people who have clean hearts. That's where his blessing flows. So because we have his name written onto us, blessing flows to us, but it doesn't necessarily flow to others. And so what we see in this Psalm 23 is that God prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And so the picture that I have in my head is of a banquet table with a chair, and you sit in that chair with a banquet table covered in food as you face your enemies. And one option when you face your enemies is to throw the food at them. That's your only weapon in front of you. But actually, we bless those who curse us. That's the way we work as Christians. And so God even gives us on the table that he prepares before us what we need in order to be able to bless our enemies. It's our responsibility with those that are easy to love and those that are hard to love to bless them. So when should we bless? Typically in a Jewish family, the key times are conception, when the baby is conceived. When there is a lack of blessing at conception, so say a baby was conceived outside of marriage in a space of lust, that is going to affect the child growing up. In the womb, what are the words are spoken? Is this a baby that is wanted? That's something we don't necessarily think about, but what happens there is something that's already spoken over a child's life. At birth, typically a Jewish family will bless them. At childhood, at puberty, at marriage, and when it says in Proverbs at the end that about speaking about the woman that is blessed, that as they see all that she does, that her children will rise up and call her blessed. And so as elders hit their old age, it's the role of the children to rise up and then bless in that their old age. So that's when we should bless. How do we bless? We do it in love. We give it and receive it in faith. When we bless, we speak from the promises of God. We speak with the confidence because this is what God says about us, so we can speak that over people. Typically, if you ask someone to bless, they will close their eyes, pray, maybe put a hand on someone and say, "May the Lord bless you." And there's this disconnect that happens because as you close your eyes and you bow your head, you forget that actually God, you work with God as a co-laborer in blessing. He empowers us to do that to the people. And so the next point I give on blessing is speak directly to the person. Look into their eyes. Typically, you use your right hand. It's the hand of honor to bless. We see that with Esau and his brother and everything that goes on there, and the blessing missed out on. He's traumatized by that. Use scripture and listen to what God might want to say through you. I'm skipping, for those that were in the camp, they got more than this. I'm skipping through really quickly because I've got lots to cover, and I want you to get some of the practical work out of it. So what we're going to do is I'm going to talk to you about each section, and then I'm going to give you an opportunity to do each section with each other. So just in pairs. And so the first section is about delight. That's about sharing God's delight in someone. It is about sharing. God loves us as his children. It's about us having that opportunity to remind people of how God sees them and knows them and wants to share that with them. To remind people that they're unique, that they're beautiful, that they're not an accident, that they're treasured by God. And so that's what delight is about. It's about us thanking God for a person, but also sharing what God has for the person. I put down a few examples. I thank you, God, that and use someone's name is your new creation. I bless their name as your chosen one, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I share your delight in this person as the salt of the earth, your highly favored one. What I've done here is I picked out from this this picture, which shows a bunch of scriptures reworded in the Bible, and I've used that to express a blessing. You don't have to repeat the whole verse, and part of it is just turning around a verse in order to be able to speak God's blessing over that person. So what we're going to do is we're going to do that now. So if you want to, you can use just one of the ones off the sheet. If you want to have a go doing it yourself, do that. But let me encourage you, look in the person's eyes and use that to bless them. So how did that feel? There's something uniquely vulnerable about looking in someone's eyes and speaking something like that, isn't it? Yeah, well, it can bring up some of our sense of insecurity of like to hold someone's eye is something you can only do if you feel a reasonable degree of confidence in who you are, because otherwise, if you lack that confidence, there's a tendency to look away, to turn inside of yourself rather than looking inside someone else. So that's about delight. And so I'm separating them into parts. This is something that you can use as a package altogether. The second one that we're going to do is around design. When people are growing up, one of the questions that they ask are, who am I? As we go on in life, the question is around, who am I? Am I a significant person? Am I worthy of attention? And so design is about that, about remembering someone's worth, who they are, what God says about them, their worth. I particularly want us to use this Genesis 1, 27. God created man, woman, young woman, girl in his image. So I want you, when we do this one, to use the first section, just not yet. I bless you as a woman created in the image of God. I don't think our culture values gender enough, so doing that I think is really significant. I've put a few blessings as using the I am statement picture from the previous page. So I bless you as God's highly favored one, designed to share his favor. So I bless you as a shining star, designed to display his light. You might use scripture or something about a person and ask the Lord to increase it. So you might say, I bless you, use their name, as someone who has bold access to the throne of God. May he increase your experience of this blessing. Or using 2 Corinthians 5:17, that anyone in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. I bless you as a new creation in Christ Jesus. I bless all that is new in you. I bless you with an increased ability to see this and to walk in this. And how can we say that? How can we say it with confidence? We can say it with confidence because we know that that's God's will for us. So when we speak that, we are not saying, God, if you really want to do this, can you do this? We're saying, well, God, this is what you've promised to do. This is what you want to do. I'm writing your name on this person and asking you to bring this blessing to this place. It's about blessing who they are now. So it's not saying blessing who they will be or who they were. It's blessing who they are now Sometimes someone's nationality, their frame, their personality, their gifts, their talents and abilities are something that you might want to pull out as something particularly personal. You can combine down the bottom a couple of passages together. When you bless someone in their design, you are really celebrating who that person is apart from what they can actually do. And so you're celebrating how they're perceived from outside and sowing that word of blessing into their heart. Where I would love us all to be able to get is to a point where we can look at someone, have enough scripture in our head, enough connection to God to be able to, just in a moment, say to someone, can I bless you, non-Christian, Christian, and then bless them. And see what fruit God produces through that. And so you've got an opportunity. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to pull a few things out. Think about it for a minute before you do it. So think about it. You might like to pray, God, which bit would bless the person that I'm working with? And then spend maybe at most a minute each blessing the person that you're doing this with. So the question of destiny, that's about us blessing where someone has been, where they are now, and where they are going. So you're blessing the past, present, and future of their God-given journey and lifetime, blessing their calling and their purpose, blessing their unique and special path in life according to God's word, will, and desire. Mark Twain says, the two most important parts of the life are the day you were born and the day you figure out why. That is a question, why am I here? What am I doing? It gets continually asked through the stages of life. When you're younger, it's am I loved and am I cared for? There's less sense of ambition about the future. But as you hit puberty, the question that comes up, do I have what it takes to be a man or a woman? Am I adequate to fulfill my calling as an adult? Am I going to do something significant with my life? That's something that hits there. As you get older, and no one's hit that age yet, the question is, am I still useful? Is there any purpose in me still being around? That's questions that people ask when they don't feel physically able to do things. Does it make a difference if I'm here? And so there's a role in blessing speaking into that. So blessing, when we're talking about the past, well, we can know information there. When we're talking about the present, we can know information there. When we're talking about the future, we can talk to God about what his purposes might be. Maybe God will give you some information about what he might be wanting to say about where this person is going or the path that he has for them. Some key scriptures that you might look at, Jeremiah 29:11. If I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. We see in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So an example of where someone has been, you might say, I bless you, use their name as a son or daughter who God has worked all things for good. You can bring that into the present and you can say, I bless you, using their name as a son or daughter who God is working all things for good. And in the future, who will work all things for good. You can use a now one, I bless you. Use their name as a son or daughter who works in the area of their work, their study for the glory of God. And then you can ask God to prosper and increase them and bless what they put their hands to. You can then, where someone's going, I bless you. Use their name as a son or daughter who God has prepared great works in advance for. That's something we know to be true from Scripture, so we can speak it over someone. If we have something particularly specific from God, that we can bless them in that. If someone talks to us about where they feel like they're going, we can bless them in that. Using someone's area or work of work or study or their role is sometimes helpful. So destiny words, where they have been, where they are now, and where they are going. Well, what I find is that it's easier to bless someone eye to eye when you work with what's in here rather than what's down on here. Because if you're using what's down on here, I'm always concerned, am I getting it right? Have I said it exactly the way it is? But when I use what's in here, I put my trust in my heart, in faith with God that I read the Bible regularly, I pray regularly, that what is in here is a mind that is being renewed by the Spirit, and therefore, as a result, I can speak from a place of a renewed mind or a mind that is being renewed. So everyone had a go. Good. So next section is on dominion. So when we talk about dominion, we're talking about the domain, the metron of a person. I just say that word too. Rod really loves the word. So that's your sphere of influence, your metron. It is. we are asking God to bless what He has given them authority over. God's given us authority in the natural and in the spiritual over things in life. So when we bless someone in this area, we're asking that He blesses the person with the authority that is given them, that they may be fruitful with what He's given them, reign, leadership, or whatever over us. And it might be over people, places, things that God gives us a sense of authority over. It might be even just our own bank account. God gives us dominion over that, and we can ask that God will bless that and the authority that's used through that. Matthew 28:18-19, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So Jesus passes to us His authority in our making of disciples. I really love Psalm 8, verses 4 to 6. It says, "What is mankind that it's..." When you really think about this and picture it in your head, it's amazing. What is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than angels, and you have crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet. That's amazing that God would trust us to give us dominion over so much. Ephesians 2:6, God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. An example of using this blessing, I bless you, use their name as, you can say someone, but I prefer son or daughter because I think it's more personal. Who can do all things through Jesus who strengthens you. If you want to get more complex, I bless you, use their name, use their role that God has given them, and so referring to the position of authority, and refer to the area. And then you can ask God to increase their influence, to use them, to increase the blessing, to increase their authority. That's just a simple formula. Use their name, their role, and the area. So the last area is at the bottom of the page from under dominion, and it's just really speaking God's blessing over them, the blessing that's been spoken over people through the ages from Numbers 6. It's when you speak this as a blessing, let me reemphasize that we're going and we're saying, well, God, this is your promise to your people. We're now part of your people. Please continue to work this promise through us. And we pray it, or we speak it with a confidence, because we know that this is what He wants to do for His people. And so it'd be great if we can all have a go, and you don't need me to demonstrate this one. Have a go at just speaking this. See if you can remember it all. as you bless the other person. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Let me encourage you to take this away as a resource that you can use, to take every opportunity to bless someone. You can write down or prepare a blessing that you might want to deliver to someone. You might want to do something like that for your parents. David Tenson has a really good story about how he did that with his dad and gave him the eulogy that it would have given him when he died whilst he was alive, and how that was a really significant point in his dad's life, who's not yet a Christian. Use this as a tool to bless others. When you see something good in others, let me encourage you, speak it. If you see something good, speak it out as soon as you see it. When you see a problem, when you see a deficit in someone's life, that's an opportunity for you to, rather than point out where the deficit is to speak a word of blessing into that. So if you're good at picking out faults, that's a gift that you have. Just how you're using it is not great if you're speaking out the faults. If you want to use that gift well, you can speak blessing into those places where you see that it's missing. So that's my encouragement as we finish. Rod is going to lead us into worship.